Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our latest episode of the Just Go Show. I'm Strategic Account Manager Joseph Barney, and today we have a very special member of the Classic family as our guest, our new CEO, Melissa Krueger. You'll certainly be seeing and hearing much more from Melissa over the coming years as we launch some very exciting new initiatives, but today we wanted to have some fun and get to know Melissa on a more personal level. Get ready for some great insight and advice on everything from career to skincare. Without further ado, I'll hand it over to my friend and colleague, Ray Benavides.
Aloha, Melissa. Thank you so much for joining Joseph and I today on our latest Go Show episode. I'm happy to say that I've known you for a good part of your career. With that said, what was the most pivotal point in your life as a young child or a young adult that created such a passion for travel?
Wow. You know, as a child, we didn't really travel much. I mean, I grew up on the West Coast and our travel consisted of getting in a car, and that was the gas crisis. So it was a compact car with five of us going back and forth to our grandparents' farm in the Midwest. So the travel bug and how amazing the world is didn't settle in on me until I started my work in the travel industry. And really from there, it was once I saw cultures and people through the eyes of my children. And I think, you know, the biggest impact I remember having is there was a hurricane in Los Cabos, and we were watching the news as a family one night, and one of the girls said, Mom, do you think Jose and his family are okay? And I was like, who's Jose? And they said, you know, he was the really nice man at the swim-up bar. And I love the fact that they were little girls and that their world was getting smaller and smaller because of our ability to travel in it. So that felt really right to me, and it still does. And that's what keeps me going and wanting to touch my foot down on, you know, all parts of the world.
So Melissa, in the past few months, I've been out in the field talking to travel advisors, and a lot of them have had really nice stories to share about knowing you in the past with some of your other careers. And I wanted to learn a little bit more about your history and the path that led you to where you are today with Classic.
Yeah, thank you. It's always so nice to hear, you know, that that people like you, Joseph, that are part of our company get to interact with people that have known me over the years. And I feel like 50% of success is having the right people rooting for you. And I have in my career. And, you know, when I first started, I didn't know the travel industry was a thing. I had not traveled. As I said, you know, our travel consisted of going from, you know, Seattle to North Dakota all together in a small car. But I thought, okay, if I get into a company that's international, then I'll have a chance to see the world. Well, as it happened, I joined an international company that was in the travel industry. So I got the best of both worlds. And that started, oh gosh, you know, 20 some years ago. That being said, as I launched my career, my true desire was always really, I was going to be a really engaged mom and a really engaged wife. And I guess I didn't know that there was going to be space for both. And, you know, there wasn't a big footprint on that yet. And so I started my career as a business development manager for a tour operator in the Northeast. Shortly thereafter, I got married and we were lucky enough to get pregnant with our first child. And I thought, okay, this is great, but I'll probably resign. And the company I worked for came to me and they said, well, don't do that. You know, let us know what it takes to make this work for you and your life and your family, because we'd like you to stay on board. And, you know, one of the things I share with my team now is, you know, that really taught me how purposeful you should be as a company and being nimble, you know, being nimble within your organization for your employees. So, you know, thereafter I had my second baby, and then we were going to get ready to move to Carmel. And I was really excited about making a transition to raise my children in a small town. And I thought, well, for sure, now I'll just resign and I'll stay home. And I remember our vice president of sales, he said, well, don't do that. He said, you know, look at our company and see where there are gaps and write a job description. And Joseph, I was like, great, Google, how do you write a job description? And who am I, you know, as this business development manager to look at the company and see where there are gaps? And, you know, again, just a lesson that imparted on me is really making sure that you're working within the entire organization to see what opportunities there are. But so I did. And I took over as brand development manager. We were doing a lot of private labeling at that time. And then shortly thereafter, I became director of sales and senior director of sales. And again, that was for a Northeast tour operator that I spent 15 years of my career with fondly. However, I was, you know, getting to a point where all three of the girls were now in school. I think it was the 1 year out of my life when, you know, there was a fifth grader, a third grader, and a kindergartner. So I only had them at one school. And I was ready to take on more. And so I started having conversations with Alex Sharp, the CEO at Signature, that I wanted to grow my career. You know, companies were not decentralized. People were not working from home. And so it was going to be difficult for me to grow my career with a Northeast-based organization. And he said, well, you should give David Hu a call. And I'm like, well, who's David Hu? And he said, you know, he's the president of Classics. So 3 months passed by and I hadn't called David Hu. And Alex Sharp, if you know him, he's kind of this gentle giant. He's like, could you please call David Hu? So I called David Hu and we started having a series of just conversations for about 4, 5, 6 months. And then he offered me the opportunity to come on in the capacity of director of sales and strategic account manager. But there were so many great, rich conversations in advance of that and during the time where I was being offered the position. And this was the premier luxury tour operator in the industry. It was the North Star for all of us. And so it was kind of always where I wanted to be. So big point of pride for me when I came on board. So, you know, part of the conversation with David was, you know, what do you want to do with your career and where do you want to be? And those are pretty bold questions. And I responded with pretty bold answers as humbly as I could, you know, saying that I want to grow. However, here are my milestones. And so I go back, Joseph, you know, I want to be a really engaged mom. I want to be a really engaged wife. But I'm knowing that at this point, I'm like, I can kind of have it all. You know, there's a juggle, but you can kind of have it all. So I said to David at that time, I said, look, there are 5 days out of the year where I won't travel. These three birthdays, the Mother's Day tea and the annual Halloween parade. I said, from there, you've got me the other 360 days. And I said, and I will want to grow my career with milestones that meet up with when my oldest is like a rising junior. So sure enough, I took on a little more when my oldest was a junior. That's when I took over as general manager and then eventually vice president of our group's division. I just had more capacity. I had more time to give to my career and more time to give to the company. And with that, it was also a big transition for me, right? Because I went from being in the sales capacity to an operations position, which was really daunting for me because I thought, oh no, I love my customers. Don't take my customers away from me. And I remember Dave Ferran and David Hu both saying, hey, you can do as much as you want. We're not going to take anything away from you, but can you take this on as well? So that gave me the opportunity to run a business within a business. And then it was last year at the right after the holidays, where I was asked if I would be interested in taking on this position. And happily I did. And I will share, I kind of left this out of the story earlier, is that right before I came on board with Classic, I had said to David Hu, I said, you know, eventually I said, I would like to be CEO. And that felt so bold at the time, because I don't know if I'm ready for it. Or he might say, to be a CEO here, you have to have your PhD from Harvard. But at least by putting it out there, I could have this conversation and know if there was potential for this. And also giving somebody the opportunity to groom you towards the conversation, the position. And I will say that over the years, we never really had a conversation about it, other than I didn't let hope be a strategy. The company knew that I was committed and that I wanted to do this. And so here I am.
Wow, that's great. Thank you.
You put it right out there. That's smart.
Yeah, from the get-go.
You know, and I will say, you guys, I think that that's something, because here's the thing, they could have said, oh, no, that's never going to happen, or, oh, yes, it is going to happen. But I think a lot of us sit back and just wait to see what's going to happen to us. And I think that there are two kinds of people, those that wait and those that make things happen. And just because it isn't going to happen on your timeline today or tomorrow or next year doesn't mean that you can't be working towards it always. And, you know, that would be just a piece of wisdom that I would want to impart upon my children and the people that I care about.
That's great advice for anyone's career.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this is a perfect segue into the next question, Melissa. As you've mentioned, you've had tremendous growth during your time here at Classic Vacations. With all of the new responsibilities that you now have as CEO, how do you balance your work and your family life? Because that is so important these days, the work and life balance.
I've got the best of both worlds. I really do. But I will be perfectly transparent. I could not have done the service to the company, our employees, our customers and suppliers that I think I am right now. I could not have done it 2 years ago and been who I wanted to be as a mom to my rising kids and, you know, and who I am in my family. So couldn't have been done then, but I was working towards it. It's less of a juggle now. I mean, Two of the three of the kids are away at college. The third has a license and a boyfriend, so she might as well be away. So it's really nice to have something to nurture. And I know sometimes that feels like a funny word when we think about a business, but last week or the week before, somebody said something on one of our intercompany calls. It was like, you need to love our company, love Classic. And it reminded me of at one point in time, somebody asking me for, you know, best advice on parenting. And I said, you know, I show up with equal parts of love and accountability. I mean, it's not fancy, but when I dropped my girls off at kindergarten, I said, you do your job, I'll do my job. And I'm so grateful right now to have this role in this capacity at this time in our industry, in our company, because I do get to raise and grow and nurture. And I have the space to do that for a Classic that I would not have had 2 years ago. So the timing is really, really right.
So this is kind of tied to, you know, balance, like we've been talking about. What are three things that you do to minimize stress and give yourself the clarity that you need to lead a large organization like Classic?
I'm a big believer in that if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of our company. Creating space to identify what matters is really important. And so a practice that I have, and it's been long before I took over this role as CEO, but I start each day, I start each day in the exact same spot at the exact same time in the house. It's quiet. I have my cup of coffee. I'm very thoughtful on what I want to accomplish and identifying what matters. And this completely grounds me for the day. If I'm traveling, I do the same thing. So it is 30 minutes start to finish of just concentrated time. That stabilizes me, just gives me a starting point. The next one, I do a good job at making wellness, rest, and hydration big priorities. Everything is scheduled in. So I get my 8 hours of sleep. I should send you guys a picture. I've redone my office. I have a girlfriend who's a little bit of a designer. So really fun office, but over in the corner, I've got my Peloton in the closet. I've got my weights. So everything that I need to take care of myself is in this little piece of my world. And then I think the third piece for clarity is, you know, I don't rely on myself, you know, for 100% of what's going to get done. I communicate often. I stay curious. In our very first town hall in February, you know, I told the group, you know, I was going to ask a lot of questions, but in turn of asking a lot of questions, you have to listen. So I communicate often, stay curious, ask questions, and I listen. And I encourage others to do the same, especially my leadership team. And then I execute. So really just, you know, trusting my gut and not second guessing and building a trusting network that, you know, I can ask the same of, and that starts with my leadership team.
That's really interesting that you mention that you start your day off exactly the same, because I've read a few articles lately about talking about how it's really useful to have a morning ritual. And it sounds that like exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, it feels, and if I don't do it, it's kind of the same for people that exercise, but it's, if I don't do it, I'm off kilter. It doesn't mean I don't get through my day successfully, but I'm a little off kilter. It feels really good. But the family thinks I'm a little crazy. Like, they know just to pass by me, like, don't interrupt my 30 minutes. And they often wonder, they're like, will she have to start over? Like, what'll happen? Nobody even goes there.
But it's like so funny. They'd be like, don't talk to mom. Right.
Yeah. No one make eye contact with that woman at all.
Well, I think that's great, because again, it kind of just segues into our next question, because I know this question is going to bring a smile to your face. And I know we've just heard your commitment to your family, your husband, and your life. Tell us a little bit about your family and how each of them is supporting you in your new role as CEO at Classic Vacations.
Yeah. And this will get a little candid. I'm going to be, because I think it's super
important. Please do. Yeah.
So my husband, David, and I have been married for almost 23 years. He actually grew up in Carmel. So that's what brought us back to this area.
And congratulations. 23 years is a milestone.
Yeah. He's an entrepreneur. We own a business. He runs the business, and they do energy efficiency in buildings. So they go into commercial, industrial, hotels, hospitals, and they work with the CFOs to help them reduce costs, and as well as their, you know, kind of their footprint, right? So I look at them like, you know, they're helping companies be fiscally healthy and environmentally healthy. But he's been in that industry longer than green was even a thing. So that's been exciting for us. He was always someone's right-hand person, and he launched his own business about 6 years ago. So that's been really great to support him. We have three daughters, as I mentioned, 21, 19, and 16. And they're the people you want to invite to a dinner party. They're engaging, they're helpful, they're fun, they have opinions. This time of our life is really, really fun. So just to go in order, my oldest is studying business. Obviously, we knew that would probably happen with one of them. And she's at USC, so fight on right there. And she will be a senior this year. And she just spent some time studying abroad in Paris and took France by storm, which has been great. My middle daughter is at NYU studying public policy and data analytics and absolutely loves New York City. It's funny that we live kind of rural and both of them ended up in these city colleges. And then my youngest is a rising junior in high school and she just misses her sister something fierce. So they're wonderful. And I will just before I share on how they're each supporting me, I will just kind of parent pride. It was this last Thanksgiving. I love entertaining and I love tradition. And I watched the three of them come together with me kind of just being in this role of supervisor and realizing that if I wasn't here tomorrow, they could hands down put on Thanksgiving dinner, even to the point of where, you know, one of them had the electric drill putting together the extension on the table. So they're great. They're great. But as far as how they're supporting me, you know, the girls, you know, it's, you know, they do the girl boss thing a lot, but they're just really proud. And they're also great to have conversations with on what this looks like, but they kind of don't think me in this role is a big deal. And I think that's illustrative of how far we have come as a society that to them, it's great. Good job, mom. But of course, as a female, we expect this to happen. So, you know, Joseph, before we got started, I was sharing with you and Ray that I think we're embarking on the greatest generation we've ever seen. And I'm watching it happen here. So they're excited. And, you know, my husband, he's very supportive, but I will say, and this is important because I think that so many of us just, you know, manage relationships because I am pulled, right? So we've been all in as a family. And I started out today's podcast saying, you know, really wanting to be an engaged mom and engaged wife. And now, you know, I have something that's kind of just my own, right? Which feels really good. And I think for my husband, I think that he thought, okay, the kids are going to go now. It's going to be our time. And I'm like, yeah, it is. But I've got this thing that's my own over here.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's great. And I have a quick question related to that. I'm curious, does your youngest know where she wants to go to college yet or have an idea or a top three?
Joseph, I'm going to give you her number and have you ask her that because anytime I ask her, she gets mad. I think that she has narrowed down that she would like to study business, some level of international relations, humanities. So, you know, that will lend herself to, you know, so here's the thing, bottom line, she would like to go to New York. Now, does that mean NYU? Does that mean Columbia? But in her mind, Joseph, she's like, Annalise will be working in New York. Alicia will be studying. And if I go there, the three of us can live together and it will be like it used to be.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, it's not exactly why or how you choose a college, but that's her strategy. I really can't complain on that one and would support it wholeheartedly.
Oh, that's great. So tell us a little bit about, you know, you mentioned that you moved to Carmel because your husband was from there originally. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of us, you know, who have been to Carmel, it's seems like a dream place to live. So can you tell us some of your favorite parts of living there?
Yeah, it is a dream place to live. So when my husband, he left here, he graduated high school and he left the day after. He's like, this place is horrible. It's, you know, it's no one's young here. It's not vibrant. And he's like, and it took me 20 years to be able to afford to move back. And it really is one of my favorite places on the planet. You know, if you look up the definition of Shangri-La, it's defined as a peaceful valley where everyone coexists. And it's probably my favorite place. So when everybody comes to Carmel as tourists, they don't know that. But whether you're a working family or you have legacy money, everyone lives here harmoniously. It's a very active, a very contributory society, and people give what they can give. And that looks different for everybody. And the contributions from the individual are really respected here. The pace is slow, and it is an absolutely wonderful place to raise children. So that's when you think about the white sand beach or the cute restaurants in town or where the mountains meet the sea, all of that's incredible. And I'm an avid outdoors person. So, I mean, the world is my playground here. But what really makes it special is the way that the people who live here navigate the world.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Again, this leads into our next question, Melissa. Uh-oh. You know, you're an outdoors person. Do you have any specific hobbies that you're passionate about?
Yeah. So I am an avid hiker. So I remember, so many people listening today will probably know this name, Stephen Johansson. And I remember Stephen saying to me, he goes, well, Carmel seems awfully quiet. What do you do there when you're not working? And I was like, well, I hike. And he's like, well, what do you do when you're not hiking? And I'm like, well, I work. He's like, because so you work or hike? And I'm like, kind of. I mean, there are so many trails here. I used to find that that's what I would go do with my girlfriends or my family. And now I find myself hiking a lot because it's when I can think. But I mean, there are some vistas here and some backhill hiking that, I mean, it competes with some of the best in the world. So that's my biggest hobby. I do love cooking and I love entertaining. And this is going to be so cliche, but I've taken up golf. So become a CEO and take up golf is exactly what I did. And but I'm really loving it. I had a chance actually because Travel Weekly had their leadership forum. And I had my chance 2 or 3 weeks ago to play Spyglass and Pebble Beach for the first time ever. So that was exciting for me.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Yeah, you're definitely in the right place for golf.
Yes.
And I have to add, you know, I've traveled the world with Melissa. And I remember we were at some sales meeting or multiple sales meetings. And, you know, we'd be like, where's Melissa? And then in the morning, we'd be like, oh, she's probably on a hike. And sure enough, she comes in the restaurant. She's, you know, done with her hike. She's ready for her cup of coffee. I'm sure after she did her 30-minute ritual that morning, but then she did her hike and would come in, and we all knew where she would be because she had clarity. So,
yeah, I remember one time Sam Collins came out to visit, and she goes, "Well, where do you want to meet?" And I said, "Well, we can have our meeting on the trail." And she kind of looked at me, and I said, "Come on, people have meetings all the time on a golf course." I said, "We can have a meeting hiking." So, yeah. So anybody wants to have a meeting with me, come to Carmel, and we'll hike.
There you go. There you go.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
All right. So we're going to ask you some lightning round questions now. And then actually, Ray, how about I have you start off with the first couple ones, then I'll wrap it up.
Okay. Very good. So now, Melissa, these are lightning round questions. So whatever your first answer, you got to give it, because then I'm going to give you the second question. Okay.
Okay.
What is your dream car?
So a white Porsche. So white Porsche 911, but not new, like vintage, like late 60s, early 70s. Classic by nature.
Okay, very good. What was your best vacation experience?
Oh, this is such an easy one, but it's a tie. So I'm going to give both because they both happen on the water. One was sailing the Caldera in Santorini, private catamaran. Bonte set it up, just the five of us. And I kid you not, I just was sitting there and I spontaneously busted out in tears. I was just so happy, so beautiful. The next one, and this kind of goes back to the first question you asked me, which was, and I know I'm not following, I'm not doing lightning around because I'm making this be a long story, but kind of the imprint that gets made because of our children. And we were doing the trilogy tour from Maui over to Lanai. And so we're not by ourselves because there's a group of people. But one of the things they do ask is if there's a special occasion. And so it was my daughter's 10th birthday, the youngest. And so the whole boat sings happy birthday to her, and a man and his wife, we don't know them, walked over and handed her $10 and said happy birthday. And he later went on to tell us that whenever they're at a restaurant somewhere and it's a child's birthday and there's a celebration, they always have a series of fives and ones and tens in their wallet to give that child however many years they are in dollars. And so it was a great experience. My daughter cherished it forever. And because of that, now we replicate that same habit when we're out and about.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, next one. Where else would you live besides Carmel?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one. I would be a nomad. Closest to lifestyle, I think, for Carmel would probably be Tuscany or the south of France. But I love our country, and I really can't imagine leaving America. So Santa Barbara.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, Joseph, it's all yours.
All right. So, Melissa, what is your favorite wine?
Ooh, can I go champagne?
Sure.
So, Biacar salmon champagne would probably be my favorite.
Okay, I'm going to have to look that one up.
Yeah. Or better yet, come to Carmel and we'll buy a bottle and then we'll go for a hike.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
What is your favorite album of all time?
Ooh, Taylor Swift, 1989.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great one.
You can tell you have daughters.
Yeah. I knew. And that one is, and it's funny, I have to say, I mean, there's probably other ones that I really like, but that album came about right at the same time where your girls stopped telling you everything. So when we got in the car, I would no longer hear about their day, but I could crank that album and we would sing at the top of our lungs.
Yeah, I might have to listen to that one later now. What is your favorite movie of all time?
I know I'm supposed to just give one answer. Okay, so there's two categories because there's movies you can only watch once and there's movies you can watch repeatedly. So I would say Sixth Sense is right at the top, but you can never watch it more than one time because knowing how it ends is kind of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So my repeat movie, probably Little Women, but if anybody's seen Top Gun Maverick, that could be really, really in the running right now.
Oh, that's what everyone keeps saying. Okay, I need to go see that. Everyone keeps telling me the same thing about that.
You know what, Joseph? You know what I think it is? I think that if I say something that happened in the first Top Gun and you haven't watched it and I ruin it for you, that's, you should have watched it. It's been years. But yeah. I think that there was a level of sadness for all of us with Goose dying and Top Gun Maverick kind of heals that. I don't know. It's just go see it and call me. Yeah.
And our last question. So let us know three products in your toiletry bag that you cannot leave home without.
Oh, this is such a good one. You know, my list is way longer than three.
Yeah, mine too, I figured.
Yeah. So I might have to throw an extra two. But so first of all, my toiletry bag I'm addicted to. So it's by the brand Truffle and they're clear, but they're very structured. So the brand Truffle, awesome. The three products, so Bobbi Brown Extra Lip Tint, and that's what it's called, is my favorite. Super moist. So Bobbi Brown Extra Lip Tint, great. Mario Badescu, the Seaweed Night Cream. And my team knows I tend to be a little bit tight with my money. Doesn't mean I won't spend it, but I just want it for the right things. And so I cannot bring myself to buy La Mer yet. It's just so expensive.
Yeah.
So I Googled what's next best. And the Seaweed Night Cream came up. And I have to say, I do look forward to going to bed at night and putting that on my face.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah. You don't even have to. I'm going to send you. You know what I've actually thought about? I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do some type of incentive where it's like someone gets like a little care pack of like Melissa's favorite things?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was with Michael Holtz one time. We were at the symposium, I think. And he's like, Virtuoso should do a whole thing on what you pack. So you guys are you're onto something here.
Okay.
And then the second to the last, because I am going to add a fourth one because it's so fun. And I just started adding it. So number three, it's Rich Hydrating Face Mask from Trader Joe's. So it's like $1.99. It comes in a light green package. I actually have Amy Logan, our VP of solutions, using it now too. So after an airplane ride and you're dehydrated or first night in a hotel where maybe the circulation's funky or you can't sleep with the windows open because it's got chamomile and cucumber. And I love that. So those are my top three. But the fourth, I'm going to give you an extra here is I stayed at the Plaza in June because we celebrated my daughter's 21st birthday and I was there for some business. And the Plaza New York has a room spray that's gardenia scented. So I don't know is that sacrilege to bring a scent to another hotel's, I don't know. I don't know if there are rules on that one, but I will say that if you are at the Plaza in New York and you can pick up a bottle of their room scent gardenia spray, that's pretty nice to have in your travel pack.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. I'm going to definitely check out that Trader Joe's one. Trader Joe's does have some really good little beauty products in that aisle there. And I'm going to try the seaweed one from Mario Badescu too.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa. That was so much fun.
Yeah, you guys, thank you for inviting me. Thank you for giving me a chance to share my voice and my thoughts and trials and experiences and wisdom.
Yeah, we loved it.
Thank you, Melissa. And, on behalf of the entire team at Classic, we just want to say thank you for your leadership. We're happy you are steering us in our new chapter. We're looking forward to what the future brings. So thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much. I've said it before, but there are so many elements of this job that I would do for free. It's the most rewarding. It's the most rewarding thing I've done next to parenting. It really is.
What an incredible interview with our CEO, Melissa Krueger. I personally found this episode to be educational, informational, and most importantly, inspiring. As we explore the multifaceted daily life of a wife, mother, and CEO. Melissa is a true leader with a tremendous passion for travel and service, and we are delighted to have her guide Classic Vacations into the future. Thanks for joining Joseph and me, and we look forward to our next Just Go Show episode.